Welcome to Grumpy Strategists, episode 28. I'm your host, Michael Shoebridge from Strategic Analysis Australia, and I'm joined by SAA's Head of Research, Dr. Marcus Hellyer.
Hello, Michael. It's good to be back in the SAA bunker, deep in the bowels of the Brindabella Mountains. We've been away for a while. I've been bird watching. You've been attempting to fish.
I've been fish watching.
I was thinking that it'd be bad karma if you went fishing, but apparently the way you fish is good karma because all you manage to achieve is to feed some fish.
I think well it's. I don't go fishing. The fish go humaning, and what they do is they get.
They get fed.
Lot of food from me.
Well, yeah. Good for you, Michael.
So I'm not even sure I should be paying the New South Wales government for a fishing license. Look, we've got a bit to talk about. We've got fires, delays, declaration of victory of Black Hawk deliveries, and then this magical
it's big.
New plan released by Pat Conroy, a work of great creativity.
It is.
The Guided Weapons and Explosive Ordnance Plan.
So big.
It's been launched. The only question is, does it do anything? And we'll get into that. But first, fire.
Fire, yes. Big shed fire. Very big shed fire.
So unkind people have said it's not Barrow in furnace, it's Barrow on as a furnace or Barrow in furnace inferno. There's been a what looks like a pretty serious fire inside the major construction hall for the UK's nuclear submarines.
So BAE's big assembly hall in Barrow in furnace.
The Devonshire Dock Hall. I thought it was full of scones and cream when I first heard that, but it looks like it took about 14, 15 hours to get under control and put out.
So this is the facility where the UK's SSNs are assembled and their SSBNs. And my understanding is there's currently three SSBNs in various stages of construction. The dreadnoughts.
Yep.
Now, I don't think they are sort of assembled up into big submarine-looking things. I think they're sort of still in components.
Yep.
Again,
but
I'm
there's
not quite
one
sure. And
late-stage Astute in there, isn't
yes.
there? HMS Agincourt.
Yes, so there are actually submarines in there. Now, the UK government and BAE were very quick to say there's no nuclear hazard here, but this fire sort of made me cast my mind back a long time to a fire in a US shipyard where a Los Angeles class submarine was overhauled.
Yeah.
And a disgruntled dock worker actually set fire to it, causing so much damage that in the end the US Navy decided it was just not cost effective to repair it and they wrote the whole submarine off.
You know, there's one lesson out of that, and that is with submarine workforces you need a lot of gruntle, because as soon as there's any disgruntlement, trouble happens.
So SSN's very survivable in the open ocean, very vulnerable when they are tied up.
Well, the Ukrainians understand that. So they've been destroying Russian submarines. They do it in port or in dockyards. But this UK dockyard looks like it's in trouble to me, because that has to be quite an intense fire.
I mean, if I was an evil genius, and I'm not because I'm not evil or a genius, but if I were, the way I would take out Australia's SSN capability would be to create a lot of disgruntlement and, you know, get people to sabotage the boats when they're out of the water.
We'll probably get the anti-nuclear fraternity along with the anti-US fraternity, co-opt them to your evil dark designs, if you were evil.
Well, I was thinking of just money rather than ideology, but anyway. Look, so we don't actually know what impact there has been on the boats under construction or the schedule plan. I'm looking forward to reading Navy Lookout, which is a great UK site who have really plugged into UK Navy issues, very reliable site. I'm sure they're going to have something to say about this in coming days.
But I think that Navy Lookout, that UK publication, is going to be a far more credible assessment of this than any official statements from any of the AUKUS governments, because I'm primed and ready for there's nothing to see here. In fact, this is a great opportunity to make this shed even better than it was before the fire. That's the line I expect out of the AUKUS grifter fraternity.
Yes, I think there's going to be lots of claims about, people might think there'll be a schedule impact, but we've built contingency into our schedule, so
well,
nothing
to see.
Well, that
brings me to the American industrial
base. Let me just say that if the shed is severely damaged, there is one silver lining here, and that is we're giving the UK $4.7 billion to support their nuclear program. So they're going to have a lot of cash to build a new shed.
In fact, here's an investor tip. Get into shed production.
in Barrow.
Sheds R Us is a new AUKUS phenomenon. So I'm looking into it, and I think getting some money in early to shed production. This delay in the UK industrial base, which will happen from this fire, did make me think of the General Dynamics CEO, who, of course, General Dynamics owns Electric Boat, talking to shareholders. She had some moments of honesty.
And said, things are humming like a top. Things are, they're just pooping boats off the end of the production line like nobody's business.
Well, I think there was some poop involved, but it wasn't a humming top. It was more just poop. What she said was, look, there have been major delays in getting major components and supplies from our contractors.
But hasn't the US spent billions and billions on remediating the naval nuclear supply chain?
And imagine how big these delays would have been if for the last 5 years they hadn't been spending billions to make sure there were no delays.
And aren't we topping that up with another $4.7 billion?
That's to make that an even better picture. So okay. It's a bit like, you know, you have a car crash. Gee, he was lucky he only broke both legs. So, yes, there has been billions spent, but there are still major delays in supplies to Electric Boat. That has meant that Electric Boat has now slowed down its production of the submarine.
Well, that doesn't sound good. So there'll be schedule delays.
Well, the really good news is while there are continued schedule delays to US submarine production, the one area where the American industrial base that's building submarines is well ahead of the curve, well ahead of schedule, is in predicting delays.
So they'd already predicted these delays. And that's built into the schedule.
She reassured her shareholders that these delays wouldn't have new delays on the schedule.
So if we're slowing down schedule, it's not going to have a schedule impact because we'd already built our schedule around slowing down schedule.
They were so far ahead of the curve on predicting delays.
These guys are good.
Yeah. I mean, one thought I had when I heard that is maybe spend a bit more time not having the delays rather than getting these incredibly accurate future delay forecasts.
Well, it's easy to be snarky, Michael, but I think the key point out of all of this is we still have not seen anything to indicate that there will be any more US SSNs in existence in 2032, 33, when we are meant to be having the first one handed over.
Well,
there will
not
be any more in existence.
There can't be because they have to start production. They had to have started production 7 years before they pop out the end
there will not be any more in existence under the current plan than there was under the pre-AUKUS plan.
No. Look, this is probably a separate topic, but it just has really struck me. I'm going to say three words, B-21 at this point. B-21 and AUKUS. So you think about the whole AUKUS plan. This optimal pathway is all about a really difficult, complicated, fevered attempt to extort a few more submarines out of a production system in the UK and US that builds these things so slowly. So it'll take till 2054 to eke out 8 extra submarines out of the UK and US industrial complexes. So billions of dollars, decades to try and accelerate, get more production. The B-21 is the opposite to that. The problem that the Americans are having, and they're talking about it openly, is the US Air Force will not be buying enough of them. The production line will set up, pop them out, and it'll close down because there aren't any more orders. So it's the opposite problem. The B-21 is a rapid production system in search of more orders. And the whole nuclear submarine enterprise is an achingly, depressingly slow production system where we're desperately trying to contort it to go slightly faster.
Yeah. Well, the hilarious thing about, well, there's many ironies in the whole SSN thing, but the boosters keep saying these are the most complex, complicated things in the history of humanity. And sorry, that's a good thing?
Yeah.
Why is this a good thing? It is the embodiment of the cult of complexity that has resulted in Western militaries having shrinking fleets, delayed fleets, and ultimately less and less capability.
Well, that gets us to this guided weapons and explosive ordnance plan that Delivery Minister Comroy released when he was at the press club. this
week. It's a big plan.
76 pages?
It's another big plan. I've lost track of how many big plans we're up to now under this government.
Well, you know, the strategy is one of deterrence, but I think what Minister Conroy is demonstrating is this is deterrence by documentation. Mm-hmm. There is such a heavy weight of documentation that we're capable of delivering onto our adversary that the very weight
of
that...
Oh, it's to deter the adversary.
Yes.
I thought the point was to deter anybody in defence from making any decisions or anybody in Australian defence industry from building anything.
Well, I think that will be revealed in the update to the strategy, which is due in just over, not even 18 months from now. But yes, weight of fire is so important in war. Well, the weight of documentation Australia can now bring to bear against any adversary is quite compelling. Mm-hmm. Now, this plan, 76 pages...
It's a strategy. It's not a plan.
Sorry, it's a strategy. Well, but he said he launched a plan.
Well, it's a strategic plan then.
A big thing that struck me about this is there's a lot in the plan that talks about all of the constraints.
Mm.
So, you know, these guided weapons, you've got to understand, are very complex.
Mm.
There aren't many companies that make these. They've got a lot of supply chain constraints, so they can't make more fast. You can do nothing quickly when it comes to guided weapons.
Yes, I think it is a very good diagnosis of the problem, that these things are complex. Not a lot of people make them. The people who do are the US primes, so we are held in thrall to the US primes. They rely on exquisite components that not a lot of people can make, and they are... to quote, intimately connected with specific launch platforms or combat systems, so it makes it hard to integrate new weapons into this. So there's a whole bunch of constraints about the kinds of GWEO, of guided weapons, that we use at the moment. So the solution, Michael, is...
It'd be to do something different, because if you just accept all those constraints, you're going to just spend a whole lot of taxpayer money over a long, long time and not get anything different.
Mm. So we're going to do something different?
Well, you'd have to with that diagnosis.
But are we?
No, the plan doubles down on all of these constraints. It says, so what we're going to do now is we're going to spend billions of dollars. In fact, now is a funny term to use.
Now meaning the next decade.
Over the next decades, we are going to spend billions of dollars buying complex guided weapons in small numbers from the big traditional, mainly US defense primes, who cannot make these things quickly and whose supply chains will remain constricted no matter what we do. Mm-hmm. That's the plan.
But then we're going to build a whole bunch of stuff here, aren't we?
I don't think so. One, the thing that we are going to build, it's very impressively titled. What's it called? The Australian Guided Missile Complex?
No, the Australian Weapons Manufacturing Complex.
The Australian Weapons Manufacturing Complex.
Mm-hmm.
This thing is the one tangible thing I can find in this plan, and it's...
$316 million, Michael.
Yep, $316 million.
Hopefully but it won't catch
Lockheed
fire.
Lockheed Martin are going to assemble a short-range army missile in this shed. And that was announced, I think, about 3 years ago that they were going to do that. They were given $37 million to start manufacturing this missile.
Last year, they were going to start producing GMLRS, so the rocket launched off the HIMARS truck. They were meant to start producing them.
In 2025. Yeah.
But now we actually find out that in 2025, that's when we're actually going to make a decision about where the shed's going to go, and the shed will be built by 2029.
Yes. So there's going to be...
So I'm a little confused about how we're making missiles in 2025 in a shed that won't exist until 2029.
We won't even know where the shed's going to be. Yeah.
So there are some confusing bits.
Yep. So out of all these multi-billion dollar announcements, you know, $74 billion over the next decade for targeting long-range strike missile defense...
There are a lot of numbers here.
...guided missile complex... It turns out next year we're going to choose a location for a shed. We're going to spend $316 million getting Lockheed Martin to build the shed.
Yep.
The shed will be finished around 2029. And then we're going to spend $320 million. And you might actually give us the words.
There's this strange phrasing here.
Is that to get Australian companies to put components in?
Well, the government has committed $320 million of additional funding over 24 to 2024 to 2030, to evaluate and develop the feasibility of select Australian companies to manufacture specific GMLRS components. Can you tell me what develop the feasibility of select Australian companies mean?
What that means is...
So are we actually going to get Australian companies to build these missiles?
Not in
we
that period.
We are going to determine the feasibility of it.
According to this, I mean... Lockheed Martin got $37 million. I thought that was to do some studies, but that was meant to start manufacturing of this weapon. We're now going to pay for the facility, and we're going to pay them more than we pay for the facility to tour Australia, evaluating the feasibility of Australian companies between now and 2030. And so you think to yourself, we're never going to get out of bed in making components for this simple missile. And the strategy has that... crawl, walk, run thing.
Ah.
And 10 years from now, we're meant to be making complex missiles. We're meant to be
assembling.
But we won't finish the feasibility evaluation of whether a company can make a widget or not.
Let me cut to the chase here, Michael. This document is all about ensuring that Australia remains grovelling supplicants to the US primes. There is nothing in here about how Australia is going to design and build its own guided weapons.
No.
It is all about providing huge amounts of money to overseas primes to establish production here, and they might use some Australian components.
But we are not going to untie ourselves from those big foreign defense primes' offshore supply chains. So we're not solving the problem that this guided weapons enterprise is meant to solve.
So let me give an example here of correctly diagnosing the problem. So somewhere in there, in the 70-something pages, it says, in the war in Ukraine, Ukrainians went through 7 years of global production of Javelin anti-tank missiles in the first month of the war. So what was the Ukrainian solution? They didn't say, we're going to increase production of Javelin 100-fold.
It's in 10 years.
Yeah. It's like... let's find a different way to take out Russian tanks. And so they're using quadcopters, which they can assemble hundreds of thousands
and
of
they can
domestically.
Buy as consumables on the wide open international market.
Yeah, so of course they are using HIMARS. You know, thank you, US, you're giving us HIMARS. Yep. Good. Unfortunately, the world is also running out of HIMARS. So I don't have a problem with building NSM anti-ship missiles or JSM anti-ship missiles. We need things like that.
Yep.
But there is nothing in here about a building a resilient Australian defence ecosystem that can produce the consumables of war that we'll be requiring by the tens, hundreds of thousands.
I agree. All of the constraints they laid out mean you cannot deliver mass and you cannot resupply at scale. None of this plan delivers mass to the ADF. None of it ensures resupply at any rate of use that you need in war.
No,
the thing diagnoses the problem and then fails to find a prescription for it. Because
we actually double down on the problem by becoming even more reliant on the exquisite weapons designed by the US primes. Will it reduce the cost of those exquisite weapons? I can't see how it will.
Well,
increase the number produced in 10 years' time.
Does that help us that much? I think shed production and feasibility study consultants are the major beneficiaries, along with the big foreign prime shareholders who now have guaranteed order books out of Australia. And the big defence primes may reluctantly retire some supply chain risk by increasing production out of Australia, but there'll still be all those offshore dependencies. Yeah, so the only way to get mass at speed is to do something different than this guided weapons plan.
No, so we've still got the cringeworthy crawl, walk, run approach here, which I'm starting to see more as the grovel, walk, run. I don't think we're ever going to reach run under this plan, but we are still groveling to the US primes. I find it incredibly disappointing, actually. And also, I just find it intellectually dishonest because you can't trust any number or any date in here.
No.
For example, you know, the government, we've spoken about acceleration. We've spoken about acceleration before. And there is a line in here about how we are accelerating HIMARS, the US rocket launcher. Under the previous government's plan, apparently we weren't going to get HIMARS until 2032.
That's according to this statement from this Conroy.
Yes. Yeah. But under this new plan, we're going to get it by 2026.
Well, that's great. That's 6 years early.
The successive generations of defence investment programs have been so denuded of information around schedule and numbers. It's very hard to ground truth any statement in here. But if you go back to the 2024 structure plan that the previous government put out, and you look at the impressionistic picture the Monet picture with diagrams, it does look like that HIMARS was going to start in 2024.
Well, there a US approval?
Yes, and in 2022, the Defence Strategic Cooperation Agency,
Security Cooperation Agency,
approved the export of HIMARS to Australia back in 2022. So I don't know where this 2032 number comes from, but it is just an example of every number or date in here
is movable. It's unanchored.
And I think it just reduces anybody's trust in these documents, in government, in defence, because they are
Thing about the numbers is the numbers, these big numbers, $74 billion, $21 billion that Conroy was tossing around the speech.
Well, you throw enough of them against the wall and they stick because of the gullible goldfish problem.
Yes, but all these numbers are based on decades, 1 and 2 decades. And the whole thing that defence is meant to be now ruthlessly doing is realising it doesn't have 10 or more years of warning time.
No, so that's what the DSR said, Michael. But that is not what the government's national defence strategy is all about.
So all these big numbers...
That's not the cat that Mr. Miles is trying to skin.
Well, it's a very old slow cat, unfortunately. All of the numbers are stuck in the world before the 2024 structure update, when more than 10 years was a fine time to do everything. So there's no urgency in this, and the solution does not solve any of the problems.
No, and the other thing I find very objectionable about this is the ongoing infantilization of Australian defence industry, and in a dishonest way. So there's an interesting diagram in there which has a missile broken down by components, and it says, well, Australian industry can do this, it might be able to do that, can't do this.
Certainly can't do the complicated stuff like the Seeker, for example.
Yeah, so it says we can't make Seekers. Yeah. Well, but earlier in this very same document, you've boasted about how BAE Australia has provided to Norway the Seeker head.
For the JSM.
The Joint Strike Missile that will be launched by F-35. So on the one hand, we're boasting that Australia can do these really cool things like Seeker heads. On the other hand, we're saying, gosh, Australian industry can't do this. Too hard. Well, we need to crawl towards being able to do this.
It's just dishonest. But the other obvious infantilizing of Australian industry is this $320 million between now and 2030 for Lockheed Martin to evaluate the feasibility of Australian companies potentially making components for the simplest missile, the one that's the lowest priority in our order book, this GMLRS thing for the Army. It's an embarrassment to have an Australian minister spout this stuff that he's obviously been given by defence officials who are simply captured by the big offshore primes.
Yeah, and it is. So the government keeps going, great new announcement, we're accelerating X, Y, and Z. If you're not a gullible goldfish and you actually go back and look at this, all this is the straightforward, methodical, achingly slow, some might say, rollout of a plan that has been around for years.
Well, 2020 was the force structure update that said we don't have 10 years of warning time.
We're four and a half years down the track from that.
2020 is when this guided weapons enterprise was announced. And it's going to be 2029 when a shed to assemble this simple US missile is built, if all goes well and there's no council plan approval problems.
Yeah. Now, I wouldn't be so annoyed if that was only one line of effort. The achingly slow replication of exquisitely complex and mind-bogglingly expensive US weapons.
That you can't get in numbers even when you spend $74 billion over a decade.
So if that was one line of effort and there were others...
Yes.
But it's not. This is the only line of effort that I can see.
Well, if the plan said, look, we acknowledge none of this can happen fast, it's slow, but we still need these exquisite, expensive guided weapons. But to complement that, we have this parallel plan, which is getting the cheap,
the smallest smart Australian industry is already exporting to Ukraine,
and we're spending $1 billion a year, $2 billion a year on that. And the first fruits of this will be in the hands of our military next year. I would think then we had a plan, but at the moment there is no plan. All right, Marcus, thank you for that therapy session. I'm glad I came back from fishing down the south coast to do it.
Sorry to blow up all of your good karma. Black Hawk. We're going to do Black Hawk. There is some quasi good news about Black Hawk, one of the topics we keep coming back to.
I saw a picture of one flying over Sydney.
Yes. So we have some. We have 10. Apparently another two by the end of the year we'll have 12. Unfortunately, we're not going to have all 40 until 2030. So
this has been accelerated, hasn't it?
The acceleratification, not massively successful, but at least we have 12. Defence is saying it will declare IOC initial operational capability at some point in the not too distant future. Of course, the problem with IOC is that it is a very subjective term. You get to define it however you like. So IOC for naval vessels is generally the first ship, one ship deployable. So I'm not actually sure what IOC means for the Black Hawks, but we'll only have 12 of them, so it won't be anywhere near the complete fleet. Yep. There's some numbers there about the number of hours they're flying. When I look at it, it still looks like less than we're planning to fly before we accelerate it. Yeah. But the good news does seem to be that if you've going to be taken hostage by some terrorists, special forces might be able to rescue you. So there's some progress there.
I would hope that Minister Comer is going to jump in one of those helicopters and visit some medium and small Australian companies who are making the small, the smart and the many, and who he really should be putting out a plan to take full advantage of for our military power. All right, Marcus, thank you.
Great to talk to you. Thank you, Michael.